Dawn and Leah will share on steps 5 through 7.
Is this on? Hello? No? Oh. Okay, it's on now? Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Leah, and I'm gracefully sober.
Leah,
I'm going to be talking about step 5 and 6 and 7, so we didn't chat how we were going to do it. Welcome back. I'm glad you came back.
Yeah.
Do you want to do 5, 6, and 7, then we'll turn over?
Sure.
Okay, all right. Let me time this. Let me time me. Okay, so step 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So step 5 comes following step 4. So at the end of my 4th step, I had met my sponsor every week. I wrote my books, and then she says to me, drop off your books at my house. I'm going to review them, and then we're going to meet and talk about the steps, my inventory. I remember thinking, oh my God, dropping off my books, can I trust you? Mind you, I've been meeting her all along, right? But it didn't dawn on me that I've been like letting her into my heart, right? It didn't dawn. And I remember right before she had asked me to do that, that when I was 2 months sober, I was in the Amish country and I met this woman, Han. She gave me her phone number, and she was an angel. It was the first time I raised my hand. I got a 2-month coin, and I would call her. At that point, my former husband was working nights, so I'd call her every night, and I would just, like, vomit, like, my stuff. And so she was very helpful in letting me, like, get honest. And I liked the fact she lived in Pennsylvania, so I knew, like, she would never tell my secrets to anyone around here. So I thought she was going to be the person I was going to do my 5th step with. Like, that still was in my head. And then my sponsor, who was doing this with me, she said that. I never told her about Han, never, like, thought to share that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess you would be the right person for me to do this. And then it was done. Like, it wasn't. So I remember dropping them off and driving away. And it was a Labor Day weekend. So it's so close to this time. It's really weird. I remember driving away and going, I trust her. And it was the first time, like, I fully trusted another human being. Like, that was, like, profound for me. Because I, like, you know, remember how I shared even about my former husband? Like, I didn't fully trust him. That's why I didn't go to him when I needed, to make a decision. So anyways, I remember that. I remember driving away. And it wasn't that the thought before I dropped it off, it wasn't that I didn't trust her. It was like, by accident, what if her husband picks up my book? Like, it wasn't really like she would do it intentionally. But there's still the doubt, right? That's why I want to, like, the doubt was still there. But I dropped it off, and I drove away, and I said, I know what to do in my fear. Trust and rely on God. God will protect my books. It doesn't matter. It's okay. And I went off that day, and I remember, like, I went and I had a great time. Like, I was done thinking about where my books were. And that was like the psychic change was definitely happening. So it does talk about in here. And step 5 is chapter, how it works. Chapter 5, I think. 6, thank you. Okay, chapter 6. I don't know. Okay. Anyways, I know it's on page 71 or whatever it is. So step 5. So I dropped them off. We met once a week. And it talks about in here, it's about we sit down and we have a long talk. So there were times that I was reading from left to right and I didn't look at her, and I was so grateful that I didn't have to look at her because I felt such shame still about the things that, not so much even the behaviors of my thoughts, how petty I was and how dishonest and selfish, and I was like, oh my God, I can't look at her. It was awful. I cried a lot, and then there was a moment, she did have a candle to bring the spirit in. She did do that, which is something that I actually do with my sponsor, with my girls, that I do, like, I do the same thing. Like, I bring a candle, and they actually go home with a candle, and I have a little comfy, a blankie for them, and they go home with that. But what I wanted to say was that first time that we sat down and she's like, let's hold hands and say the third step prayer, that's when it came out. And I was like, ah, I did it without looking. Like, I was so impressed, and I was like, oh my goodness, wow. That wasn't even like, I didn't think about doing it. It just came out naturally. So the prayer was now in my soul, and I was so grateful. So we did, so we sat down, so I was reading, cried, laughed, cried more, cried. I cried a lot. And then there was a moment that it was about a fear of abandonment, and it was about my mom. And I remember being the little girl, right? And I'm an immigrant, and I come to this country, and they drop me off at school. It's a foreign building, foreign language, strangers, and how I felt abandoned. And my memory is that my mother never looked back. The truth has come to light that it actually was my dad that dropped me off, not my mother, but I blamed her for fear of abandonment. Isn't that crazy? So that is when I really broke down. And we talked about that a lot, like, why did I, and you know, I was a kid, you know, but here's the truth. My mother learned that I cried all day long. She learned that I cried every day for whatever it was, a couple weeks. And she advocated to the district, and they got me to go to a different school, and they upgraded me by 2 grades to be with my siblings. My mother never abandoned me. She was there all along and advocating for me, but I didn't have the tools to see that. I got stuck in that moment in time that someone walked away from me and didn't turn around. And today when people walk away from me, I actually I always do the turn around and I wave. And when someone leaves the moment, the activity, whatever, I'm that person that waits because I just know that feeling, you know? So honoring that little girl again, I'm doing it not just for you, but I'm building my character. And I'm loving that little girl that thought was left alone. She actually wasn't left alone. So there's... So this part is about revealing, letting go of all that hurt that was here. And it talks about in here too, if I don't do this, it is essential. And if I don't sit and talk with someone, then I could drink again. And I believe that. I believe that because I was that Christian girl that would go to confession and I would tell the priest some sins, not all, but I was never really truthful. So I know when this fifth step happened to me, it was like a deep, and I don't want to say it was a confession, but a deep awareness and a deep talk, profound, to let someone know my wounds and then reveal them, expose them, and then I was still okay. And it wasn't a punishment, because in confession, they punish you. They say, oh, you need to do this. And I'm not saying that, and again, I'm not here to badmouth them, but it was always a punishment for those sins, where this was it is not a punishment. You are imperfect, and it's okay. But we can help you. That's the thing, the hope. There is a way out. So we did that. We did that for whatever weeks it was. And then at the very last time we got together, we were in her basement. I don't know why that time, and I have to share this because this was my experience. We went into her finished basement. We always sat in the living room. And when I left there, so here's the thing. I wanted to meet her. We met every Tuesday night. That Tuesday night was going to be Halloween. And I was so excited because it was I'm getting rid of the horror from the past, you know? And she's like, Leah, I'm a grandmother. I want to be available for my grandchildren. And I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't mad. And so we met the following day, November 1st. And so we went down to her basement, and I remember finishing my reading to her, my fifth step, and then I left the basement. And I remember thinking, I felt like Cinderella, I'm out of the dungeon, into the light, you know? I just saw that, and I was like, ah. And then, you know, as we talk, it says in here, I need to spend 1 hour with God. And so I left there. Look at God's timing. I left there. We didn't time this on purpose, but I left there. I went back to my, where I did my third step, at the chapel that I did my third step. I walked in. I spent 1 hour with God on my knees. Just wanted to really honor him for loving me, for accepting me. And then my rebirth, that it was happening in that moment, right? And when it was done, the hour was gone. The monks came and they chanted, and it was beautiful. So I stayed an extra hour, and I was like, ah. Oh. And then they left, And I still, like, my eyes were closed, and I was just, like, you know, like, surrounded by the substance of God's presence. And then it hit me when I was walking to my car, because she said, you know, if there's anything that you left, please call me, let me know your experience. And so when I was walking to my car, it hit me. When I was on my knees and I that hour with God, and I just closed my eyes, and I was just, like, with God, the monks were walking, and you could hear footsteps. And I wasn't afraid for the first time. I was violated as a child. So each and every time I would sleep anywhere, I would need, like the big light on. Not a nightlight, a big light. Even when I was married, like, the big light needed to be on. And that 1 hour with God, there were footsteps, and there were no lights. It was dark in the chapel. I had my eyes closed, and the footsteps didn't do anything to me. I was neutralized. That's when I knew I was healing. Like, that's like a gift. I don't usually say that often, because it's so intimate to me. But I was like, oh. And today I sleep in the dark, and I have no issues with that. Like, that's huge. And I go anywhere, it's all good. Like, it has left me. Because I won't be violated. God will always protect me. So that's what happened, my hour with God. So what is the solution for the fifth step? It talks about it here. It's really like the humility. All the stuff that I engaged in provided me an ability, those tragedies, to be blessings. Because that's the stuff that I connect with my girls. That's the stuff that when a girl sits in front of me and talks to me about her shortcomings or her wounds, I go, I understand. So there's purpose to all that stuff that I did or was done to me. And that's a miracle. Let's see how much time. I know I'm going to go right into six and seven. So I learned from the fifth step, like, what my character defects are. And when I was reading the fifth step, inadequacy was, oh, my God. It was like inadequacy. I couldn't even say it. I was like, oh, my God. Like, can I just say ditto, ditto, ditto? It was, like, bad. And because the self-seeking was, or the fear, inadequacy, and pride, I talked about that, like, all the time, just because I didn't want to ask for help. I was so prideful, and I thought that was, like, a good thing. And the dishonesty that we, you know, I talk about in here as well. But so my six and seven, so I went home. I was done the fifth. I go home. I was instructed to read on the 12 and 12, chapter 6 and chapter 7, step 6 and step 7. I did that. And then I was like, this is it. The next morning, I'm like, I'm missing something. So I did it again. I read the two chapters again, and also here, which are two very simple paragraphs, but they're huge on the substance of what's in there. And what I love about this is it just put me in a spot. When I did the amends to myself, and I know that's later on, but I need to share it right now. When I did amends to myself later on, the prayer that hit me the most following the amends, I went to God. I wrote a letter to myself and to God, making amends. And then at the end, and I hadn't. This was another prayer that I couldn't memorize. It came, which was step 7. It says, "My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen." So God loves all of me. Like, there's usefulness on that bad that I just talked about. It's that connection between me and you. And so my character defects that I just talked about can serve a purpose because they do provide that humility. When I was doing my writing, initially, what I wanted for, and I think, Don, you talked about, was that, like, that confidence. I had no self-confidence. And then doing my writing, I gained God confidence, so I was, like, shifting from me, self-reliant, to, like, God-reliant, so I was going that way. And then what I learned about my shortcomings, that even though I'm prideful and I know there's a lot, there's some good in that too. So my pride helped me, and I want to like share this. Like, my pride helped me in the sense, like, when I got divorced, I didn't rely on, like, you know, child support or alimony or, like, he's going to still take care of me. I said, no, I am now a person. I'm able-bodied. I went back to school, and I got my degrees, and I went back to work full-time because my husband would take care of me, and I was working, I don't know, whatever it was, 12 hours a week, you know, and he was providing for everything. And all of a sudden, I was like, wait a minute. So that pride actually helped me to get right with myself as well. But pride will not help me if it keeps me from asking for help. So now, when I'm in meetings like at work, and I'm like, ooh, I think like my ego is creeping in, and it does sometimes. I'm like, oh, chill out, and I do. And actually now I know I'm Zoom, so I remove myself from the Zoom. I get on my knees, and then I ask God to direct me, and I actually can say, I don't know the answer to that. Or I can call up my manager and be like, can you help me? I've been doing this job for 30 years. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm still learning in here. And that's the good news, how, like, I'm able to be aware of what my shortcoming is. And I know that the fear is driven by all the other ones. You know, the pride, why is pride? It's because I'm fearful that I'm not good enough, right? And so I'm able to be aware of what is happening. Why is the fear happening? Why is this shortcoming happening? And then what is the opposite? There's a beautiful book called Drop the Rock. I would recommend it highly. I've read it. There's two of them, Drop the Rock, and I think the other one is Ripple Effect, I think it's called. I've read both. They're incredible. Pretty powerful. It took me a long time to like get it because I was like, yes, yes. Like every sentence was like, yes, yes, I need to reflect on it. You know, a week later, I'm still reflecting on it. I'm like, okay, I got to move on, you know? And because I just want to get better and better and better. But it's like, you know what? God also needs to better me. Like I need to allow him to soften those edges, not just me. Because if I'm still doing it, I'm still doing it, right? But if God is softening those edges, you know, then they're like more, what's the word? My language now is leaving me, but they're more, they're going to be more substantiated, right? They're, instead of like temporary, they're more permanent. That's the word. They're more permanent, you know? So then I keep growing and not having to like go 1 foot forward and two backwards. It's like 2 foot forward, one back, 2 foot forward, one back. And I can live like that. And then the other thing is, so I'm going to end, is two things I want to just share. Is instead of that, I'm a victim, because that's what the character defects do for me. I'm a victim, like you're to blame that I'm not okay. To a victor, like I can be, I'm responsible for what is happening right here. Right, just my stuff, not yours, my stuff. And to learn what is yours and what is mine. And that is a huge discernment that is coming in time, and I still continue to grow that. And the other piece, is something that I learned in here that is very helpful, is that when things are going my way, to be grateful, and when things are not going my way, which is often, to be graceful. And only with God can I be graceful. And that's like that girl that said nothing during sibling night. That was grace. And that's allowing God to do what he needs to do so that I'm not continuing to hurt others. That is why I do these steps, is not to hurt others anymore, and myself sometimes. Thank you.
I'm Don.
Don.
Still an Alky. My daughter has arrived, folks. That's good. Thank you. It's funny. I hustling to get up here yesterday. I had everything packed that I needed. The only thing I left was my shaving gear. You know, no toothbrush, no stuff. So I called her along. I got the $1 million shaving gear now, so I'm ready. But. Yeah. I was thinking with my fourth step, not my fourth step, but with my fifth step, I had taken two in the prior AWOLs that I was with. One lasted an hour with a psychologist the VA was paying me to go see, and it really wasn't much. It was just something I could check the box. Yeah, I did this so I could go to the AWOL meeting the next Sunday, like I say. The AWOL was fine for others, but it wasn't me, and because I wasn't ready, I don't think anywhere I went at that time, I was ready to commit to changing. I wanted the booze to stop and the trouble, but in learning my way around AA. So the first one lasted an hour with a psychologist, and the second one lasted about an hour with a fellow who, I called him my sponsor. It wasn't my real sponsor. He was just someone that, and we went out for breakfast and talked over some things. So in essence, I'm saying I did enough so I could go back and say I did a fifth step. You know, I read him a fourth step that I did in an hour the day before, that kind of thing. But this is where it took me. I don't look down on that. I know it was just that was the best I could do at the time. So I finished my fourth step, and I'm looking around for someone to take the fifth step with. I didn't want to take it with my sponsor. He was like a father figure to me, and there were some things in there that I didn't want to share with him. And so, but I kept praying. They say we become ready to take it, and when the opportunity comes, we take it. And so I was praying for God to bring someone into my life that I could feel comfortable with taking this fifth step. And it was in the winter time. I was at a Sunday morning meeting at the hospital, Cape Cod Hospital, one of their pavilions. They used to have a speaker meeting. And the group didn't show up because of a snowstorm the night before. And there was a pickup meeting. And they asked this fellow to speak. And I had heard him speak several times, so I knew his story. That thing about you go to a lot of meetings, you get to meet the people who go to a lot of meetings. So that's basically what happened here. And I was thinking about it, and I liked him. He lived in Falmouth, about 30 miles away from where I live, so it wasn't someone like right next door or anything like that. So he spoke, and then after the meeting, after the Lord's Prayer, I'd been thinking about it up to that. I said, you know what? I'm going to ask him if he'll hear my fifth step. We had a lot of things in common, things that made me feel comfortable with him. He had been in the Marine infantry in Korea. I had been in the Army infantry of Vietnam. We had shared that experience. He had been a Catholic priest for a number of years, and then left the priesthood, get married, and had a couple of kids. I was single at the time. Kids came later, but the involvement with the Catholic Church I felt comfortable about, because I had grown up going to confession. And there was a part of me said, well, I'm not going to tell him anything that most likely he hasn't heard before. Someone said, if they have a name for it, others have done it as well. You're not the first, that type of thing. I didn't hear that at the time, but since I can see the relevance. But anyways, so I figured, okay, here's the guy. This is the one I'm going to go ask. And so I'm standing outside. It stopped snowing the night before, but there was, you know, people standing around smoking, and I'm having a smoke, and I'm waiting for him to come out, and he doesn't show up. I'm saying, ugh. So I say, well, I guess I'll just find someone else who'll come along. So I'm walking up back to my car, and the door opens, And out comes my friend Leo, soon to be friend. He was just someone I'd heard speaking at meetings. So Leo come out, and we're walking up to the parking lot where the cars were. And I asked him, I told him what I was doing. I told him I'd gone through the steps out of the book, and would he be my sponsor? Not my sponsor, would he hear my fifth step? And he looked at me and said, sure, I'm sure I'd do that. And there was a certain sincerity about him when he responded to me that I felt kind of okay. It just reassured me again that I was on the right track. And he had, like you say, he had a couple of kids, he had his own business, and he said, can you come down to my house at 7:00? And so for the next, that was like on Sunday, and I went like that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'd get down there at 7, and I'd leave at 10:30, and I'd go back up to Yarmouth, which was about 30-odd-mile ride. And so in the course of doing this, again, we talked about some things that I certainly didn't want to talk about. I really, truly didn't feel like I wanted to share them. It wasn't things that I was proud of at all. You've heard others say they were going to take those things to the grave. Well, that was the feel. I had just blocked them out, but in the course of writing my fourth step, they came to the forefront. Things you hear at open meetings. I heard a woman say, you're as sick as your secrets. And that phrase stuck with me. And I was sick of being sick. I wanted as much out of this life as I could get that was coming to me. I heard, again, things I heard. Someone said AA is like a big banquet. You can come in, you can have all the food you want, and won't get sick and what have you. And a lot of people still settle for a glass of water and a dinner roll. And I didn't want to be one of those people. I came here to live, as they say, not to die. So I went into areas that I had no prior to doing this step, I had no intention of revisiting, let alone talking about it with somebody else. But I did, and he was able to give me some insights, some clarity, which turned into some peace, some inner peace that I hadn't had. In many ways, I'd been denying myself because of my own fear and guilt and shame and everything that goes with it. Settling for less. They say we're affected physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I could understand the first two, the physical and the mentally, but I didn't understand the spiritual part. I thought it was because I wasn't going to Mass and really wasn't praying except when I got in trouble. But again, what I heard explained at a meeting and from my friend Leo was that the spiritual part is the settling for less. Doing things and settling for less. Going against the way I was raised, the values that I had been given as a kid and growing up. And just literally settling for less and less. And I realized I didn't want to live that way anymore. So I finished my fifth step, I went home, and that was one where I can remember getting out of my car, and there was snow on the ground, and I look back on it now, I felt different, and I really couldn't specifically say, well, it's when I said, told him this or that, because we met for three different nights in a row, I felt different at the end of completing this. I knew I had done something. As a kid growing up to confession, there were times when I would leave the confessional and I would feel good. I would feel a certain lightness. But it didn't last long, you know. But this was something different about it. It was not an unfamiliar feeling. It was just a feeling that I hadn't felt in ages. And it was fleeting. It lasted for about the time I got out of my car and walked up into the house. But something had changed, and I really couldn't really appreciate it. I did one in and spent the hour and looked at what I had done. And I felt pretty confident about what I had done because I was still coming out from a lot of pain. My pain didn't go away. The emotional pain and the fears didn't go away when I did a couple of these steps. But they got less and less, and I knew something was going on. I can remember... I heard someone say, I'm sure you've heard it, they say, if you want to find out if you have any character defects, get into a relationship, preferably with a woman in the program if you're a guy and vice versa. Well, I found that in my case it was true. So, yeah, my girlfriend, the one we were together for a couple of years, and we got sober together. that old, gonna make me look bad, feel bad type of thing, come on. I had this resentment against her. And I remember going up to my sponsor. I didn't get specific with him. I didn't want to tell him too much. I just told him, I didn't want to say, she was getting the best of me, getting me crazy. But, you know, I shared with him, I said, hell, I did my fifth step and all. Why are these things? I'm looking at this sixth and seventh step, and why is it that I've got this resentment, and why is it coming back? And he said something, he said, these get removed in God's time, not yours. And, oh, I can see over a period of time that it's some of the resentments that I had and things that would cause me to get a resentment, the fears that come with it, it's been gradually lessened, and some I haven't thought about in quite a while. I don't find myself... I can see where they've taken me in the past. And so I became ready to have these shortcomings or what have you removed. I didn't want to live that way. I was like coming into AA, I didn't want to settle for a glass of water and a dinner roll. I wanted everything I could get out of it. I didn't come here to die. I heard that at meetings. I didn't come into Alcoholics Anonymous to die. I come in here to live. And I was willing to do whatever it took. Sometimes reluctantly, but I looked at it. I got a choice. Do you want to live like this or not? And I didn't want to live like this. So I was ready. And I asked God to take all of me, good and bad. And that was a great freeing to... And I realized, too, the thought came to me, I don't want you to remove these shortcomings, these defects, so that I can go on and make $1 million or, you know, be a success, financial success or a worldly success. And that wasn't what I wanted. I wanted peace. I wanted inner peace. I wanted the dignity that came being a child of God. I didn't want to settle for less. I didn't want to do that. So I prayed. And I asked, and I continued. It wasn't a one-and-done situation for me. I continued to pray and ask God to remove these defects of character. When they crop up, because having done the four steps, see how things go back, you build on it. I knew from having written my four step, I knew where I was being selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or when I was acting out of fear. Basically, it was all if I was selfish and dishonest, it was because I was trying to control the situation, and my behavior was reflected in that. There's really a lot, not a lot more that I can say. I know that the steps for me, they truly, one do truly does my situation build on, one builds on the other. And there have been times when I had that, why me, God? And, you know, and those are days that you just don't drink. You know, you reach out your hand to another alky, or they say when times get difficult, double up on your meetings. That works, little things. But I think this here, for me, was an action step. And one of the things I didn't do, but I've learned to since then, is to pray for patience, which I don't have a lot of. I'm getting better. You know, I want, like they say, like a lot of us, I want things yesterday, and I'm a good guy. Why isn't this happening now? And but I can look back and I can see where these defects of character have been removed, in my case, in God's time. I'm not the same man I was when I did this 40-odd years ago. And I can see the changes in the person that I am today, where my adventure has taken me, you know, and it, and that's it for me on this step, folks. Awesome.
All right, thanks, everybody. We're going to...